he said it because of his wet blanket energy. Unhinged. That's actually unhinged.
Hey guys, welcome back to another Interview Thursdays, as I'm starting to call them, literally starting right now. This interview is a really fun one. I talk with Claire Heilig. She's from Clayton season, but if you guys remember, she got sent home night one because she was the girl who got a little too drunk and was running around basically just saying how much she hated Clayton. So he immediately sent her home. But Claire was really great and talks about some of the behind the scenes behind that night. And then also, Claire was also a contestant on The Voice, and she made it pretty far. She was on Gwen Stefani's team, so she also talks a little bit about her time on The Voice and how her experiences on both reality shows compare. And yeah, let's get into it.
All right, guys, I'm here with Claire. You know her infamously from going home night one on Clayton's season of The Bachelor, but she was also on The Voice, and I'm excited to talk about your experience on both shows and how they kind of compare. So welcome, Claire, to She's All That.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. So, like I said, you were on Clayton's season for one night, one episode, but you definitely made your mark in that one episode. We all remember you. How did you get on the show in the first place? And what was your experience leading up to that night?
Yeah, so I actually was nominated by one of my friends. And so when they called me and said, hey, you know, your friend nominated you, do you want to go? I had never seen The Bachelor, which is wild. Okay. I had never watched it. And I was like, you know what? Why not? But when they had called me, it was kind of in the last, like the final stages of casting. So everybody had pretty much already been picked. So I was like a wild card. So they said, if you want to, like, we want you, but you have 2 weeks to prepare.
Yeah.
So where everybody had like months, I had 2 weeks. So I was like, can I do this? Can I pull it off? And I was like, it's like, why not? You know what I mean? What do I have to lose? I was fresh out of a relationship with my son's dad. So I was, you know, I really was like, let's take the advantage of the situation. And I really did want to, you know, take the chance to maybe find a husband. So there I went.
So when did you find out it was Clayton?
Right before we left, but I hadn't watched, so I didn't have any, you know, background information on him. And so, you know, everybody's goes through things and looks up the people, but they've all watched, whereas I hadn't. But I kind of liked that aspect of it because I felt like I couldn't make any, you know, prior assumptions to him beforehand. Right.
So then you had no reason to hate Clayton then until you officially met him in the house, and then that's when you got the ick. Why did you decide so early on that you hated Mr. Clayton?
So I say this all the time to people. I am one of those people that I feel like if I just know when I know if it's somebody that I'm going to click with or if it's somebody that I'm not going to click with. Mm-hmm. I know I'm not a fall in love over time, or I don't like him in the beginning, but I can grow to, I just know. And I always go off of, if I wouldn't pick him out of a, like if I was in a bar, would I approach that person? Yes or no? And he was a no, but I was like, okay, let me like see what happens. And then, you know, on the show, there's so much more that happens than what the little pieces that are shown are. So just seeing his interactions with things, I just knew I didn't like him, but did I need to be as vocal as I was? Maybe not, but that's kind of just how I am as a person. So
yeah.
And then I definitely, you know, dabbled in little bit of alcohol as well. So
for sure.
Perfect storm.
Well, so then would you argue that if you hadn't had as much alcohol, would you maybe have tried to stay on the show longer, even though you
now?
So you're happy that you just like saw him. You're like, this is not for me.
And I had a kid at home. So I'm like, okay, I'm not going to go on here and fake my way through it and be gone for all this time for somebody I don't see a future with. If I hadn't had as much to drink, would I have been as vocal about hating him? Probably not. And then I feel like also I was like, I hate him. I was saying that as like, I freaking hate him. It wasn't like I genuinely have this burning hatred.
And no, of course. You know what I mean? That. Like, yeah, it's just like a passing comment.
Some people
comment.
Took it like so seriously. Cause you know, you get these like people that are like messaging you, like DMing you. And they're like, you're the meanest person alive. How could you say that? And I'm like, okay, I say stuff like that. It wasn't like I genuinely wish harm on him.
Of course not. Aren't the internet trolls absolutely insane?
Yes, they're crazy. And I get how I'm lucky enough. I'm like one of those people that I'm just like, whatever. But I can see how some people, it can be, if you can't handle it, it can be terrible. And it's always the people that have like a picture of a dog and three followers, or you know what I mean? It's always somebody that's just like, okay, you literally made a fake Instagram to message me.
I know. It kills me when it's like the older ladies and they have like a Bible quote in their
bio.
And it's like, please actually find Jesus, because this is not it.
I'm like, go to your kids, Lisa, and leave me alone. But that's what they do. So whatever.
Going back to stuff that happened on night one, was there anyone that you saw particularly stand out as a front runner, or did you see like producers gravitating towards certain people? Cause we hear that a lot from people on night one, that they're like, okay, I was there. No one was talking to me or giving me like any attention, but certain producers are like hyping up other people.
Well, yeah. I mean, I had a whole date, like a whole setup, a tailgate setup on night one, which I didn't really see a lot of people having like full blown things set up. And going into it, one of my questions was, you know, if you were on a date with The Bachelor, and you both are eating dinner, you're at dinner, what are you ordering? And I was like, am I drinking or am I not drinking? And they're like, does it differ? And I was like, no. I was like, chicken wings. I said, I love chicken wings. So that's where the whole chicken wing, like backyard tailgate thing came from. Going into it, I always felt like Susie was a standout. She's just so nice and sweet. And she was, when I walked into the house, me and Susie actually are pretty much from the same city.
Oh, okay.
She is from like across the water, but only like, she was always in Virginia Beach and she worked at a restaurant I used to work at. We didn't know each other though. But like the second I walked into the mansion, she said hi to me. And I said, she was like, I'm from Virginia Beach. I'm like, wait a minute, I'm from Virginia Beach. So it was cool, but I would say she was a standout. Teddy, I thought Teddy was a standout. In my limo, I had Kate in my limo. I thought she was going to be a big standout too. And she kind of was, she went to Paradise. But as far as producers, everybody has kind of a different, you get assigned a producer and people have, you know, their relationships with their producers and stuff. But as far as like seeing who they were gravitating to, it was a lot, to even pay attention to. There's so many of them. There's so many camera people. Like, it's wild, but it's weird because as the night goes on, you forget they're there. And that's how you get footage.
Yeah.
I know. That's how you get this footage though, because you're so wrapped up in it and it's so much going on. So I think that's where I kind of like went to the alcohol
because I was like, as I would too. Yeah.
And we were in, my season was the first season back after COVID. So we were still having to get tested for COVID. So going into it, you know, you have to quarantine beforehand. So you're quarantined and you're kind of just in your own head. And then you're putting these limos with, you know, all of these beautiful women. And then you're going after the same guy. It was just a lot, the process. And so I think to take the edge off, I was like, okay, I'm going to drink. I never drink champagne. I never drink plain champagne. I always will have like a mimosa and then switch. So I was drinking plain champagne, which I had no idea was as strong as it was. And I was just,
You're having a good time.
I was living my best life. But you know, you have those nights where you're like, okay, I got really drunk last night, but you go, okay, it's fine. You're overthinking it all. And then you're like, it's fine. In a week, nobody will think about it. I was like, great. I have like 3 months and then I have to relive this night with my family and my friends. So I told everyone, I said, I don't know what's about to take place, but I'm here for it. So it is what it is.
That's so funny. Can you talk a little bit about the experience with quarantining? Because we've also talked to some people who like quarantined leading up to going to Paradise and talked about how brutal it was on your mental health. Like, did you legitimately were locked in a hotel room for 2 weeks?
We were locked in a hotel room and we didn't leave. If you wanted food, you had room service. And they would leave it outside the door. So you would like come in and like, you just never left. You have no, you know, nothing to the outside world.
Right.
You have a TV. So I was just watching TV. You don't have
and
computer.
This is a TV or this is a hotel just like randomly in LA, right? So at least you have English TV.
This is just a random hotel. And then, you know, you don't really know a lot. You don't know the schedule coming up or anything. So it's just kind of your days are just, and you're overthinking everything. And you, yeah, it was definitely taxing on your mental health. And then when you get like thrown out there, it's just your, it's so much going on after being so isolated for so
long. Yeah. Wait, so how long do they have you in the hotels for?
I want to say we were in there for like, I don't know, maybe like 5 days or something.
Okay.
Not so like a, it wasn't like a really,
so it wasn't like a full 2 weeks.
It wasn't like I was in there for a month, but we were in there, you know.
Yeah.
To be safe. And then you're also freaking out because this is like, COVID's like coming to the end, but it's still there. And I'm like, oh my God, if I test positive for COVID, you had to, you couldn't go.
Right.
So you're also like, am I doing this for no reason? And then, you know, how you are, you're like, great. What if I accidentally have COVID and I don't even know? So every time they'd like swab me, I'd be like, please swab me positive.
Yeah. Do they just swab you at the end or like, would they regularly like check
in? They would
like
regularly check us according to what they like the health procedures were. Yeah.
It's so crazy to me. I'm like, what do they expect you to do all that time? Like just literally watch TV for 5 days straight, like comatose in a bed.
I was like, you know what? Cause hotel food's not good for you. First of all, sure. I also had like 2 weeks to prepare mentally. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to eat any carbs. And cause I'm like, I'm going to just sit in here and eat chicken fingers and then that's not going to do well. So I like, I'm like eating like really like no carbs, like clean. Cause I'm like basically crash dieting before I have to go on national television. Since I had 2 weeks to prepare. I think that also contributed to my drunkenness, but honestly, everyone's like, would you do it differently? I'm like, no, I wouldn't. I mean, I was genuinely myself ish. And I mean, I spoke what I spoke my mind.
Yeah. And then first I want to ask too, in your exit, what were producers kind of like asking you? Did you feel like they were trying to get you like to have a certain soundbite or a certain like try? I hear from a lot of people that they like want to get you to cry very much. So
I feel like in my ex, I was so like normal and I was like, all right, I'm ready to go, you know? And they're like the guy, one of the producers, he was like cracking up. He's like, I've never seen an exit interview like this. And I wish they showed more in my exit interview, but they didn't.
I would have liked
but
to see it.
Yeah, they, you know, they were just, are you sure? Cause they definitely wanted me to get more upset than I was. Mm-hmm. So they're like, how do you feel? And I'm like, I'm just ready to get home and sleep. Yeah. You know, because it's late. Those rose ceremonies are really late. I didn't make it to the rose ceremony. That's fine.
But so you got a nice full 8 hours of sleep.
It was
funny
when I got in when I got in the car to leave, my producer came out and he was like, do you want to take your wings? I'm like, yes, I do. I'm hammered.
It's interesting though, that like you had a producer assigned to you and they gave you the opportunity to like do the whole thing with the wings and stuff. It seems like they actually were setting you up to have
a longer run on the
show.
I think they thought it was going to be a lot different than it was, which honestly, I thought it was going to be a lot different than it was. And then,
Cause I don't think everyone gets assigned a producer like that night one. Like I don't even know if there's enough. Cause we recently talked to Marissa, who went home night one on Peter's season. And she said she felt like so brushed aside, so ignored. And the fact that they were putting so much energy into you means they like, they're probably bummed.
Yeah. And then like my night one thing, you know, everybody has these like elaborate, like limo. Some of them are so cringe to me. And I was like, I'm not doing that. Cause if I do that, it will live rent free in my head for the rest of my life. That's why when I got out of the limo and I met him, I was like, I was supposed to like, do some entrance, but I'm not doing that. And he was like, are you sure you don't want to do it? I'm like, I'm positive because I would never live it down in my own self. And that's not something I would do. Cause they were like, what if you like sing him a song? I'm like, absolutely not. I am not getting out of the car and singing. It makes me cringe to think about it now if I had done that.
But you are a good singer because you were on The Voice. This is the perfect segue into your experience on that show.
Yeah.
How soon after leaving The Bachelor did you audition for The Voice?
So it was about a year after. And with that being said, I was kind of weary about doing it, not because of The Bachelor or anything, but just because of reality television.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, is this something that I really want to do again because it is taxing. You have to leave. You know, we have jobs. So are a lot of people have jobs.
Yeah.
So trying to figure out, you know, I'm like, I can't go on a show, quit my job and then lose my health insurance. And I have a kid, you know, right. You have to think differently. So absolutely. I contemplated it for a long time. And then, I was like, you know what? So I finally applied. I just sent in a video though. I just did a video submission. And then, the producer reached out to me, but it was a totally different process.
Yeah, can you talk about that a little bit? Because we talk about the process for The Bachelor, obviously, all the time.
Yeah, with The Voice, it was a three-part audition thing. So you have your first one where you audition, you send in your audition, then you have like a one-on-one with the producers, and then you also have where you sit down and you send more songs. Wow. So it was like, I think it was send in three more songs. One had to be an upbeat song and then two slower songs. Mm-hmm. So, but it was a little more comfortable of a process, but with The Bachelor, the process is so kind of nitty gritty. Cause you know, it gets so much more personal with your dating history, relationships. Whereas The Voice, everybody's, you know, chasing the same dream and everybody has the same passion. So I felt like with The Voice, I was with a lot more like-minded people, but I also, you know, you're out there before The Voice. You're not just walking out there blindly auditioning. So you kind of get to know everybody and you know, you're walking around, you're singing with groups of people, you're meeting people. So it was kind of such a different experience in the sense the other contestants going into it, you're so much closer than with The Bachelor.
Right. Yeah. I do think it's interesting because like, with The Bachelor, we obviously know like they're looking to cast like certain types of people to fit certain archetypes. And The Voice is interesting because it's like on one hand, like it's a competition show and they need to create that facade of like pure competition. But yet at the same time, they still need to make an entertaining show and cast different personalities. Did you notice them trying to like find certain people or put people in certain boxes on The Voice?
No, I didn't notice it like that. I noticed in the sense, like, you know, I would meet people on The Voice. And then when I would watch the show, I would hear their stories and I'd go, wow, I had no idea that that person went through that or stuff like that. So I think they did a really good job at highlighting like what people have been through, these silent struggles, which was really cool. Everybody kind of got to share, you know, backgrounds like that, where I feel like with The Bachelor, it's more, I mean, they always have some of those people that have these elaborate and, you know, crazy stories or inspiring stories. But I felt like on The Voice, they highlighted a lot more of that. And then with The Voice, they did a really good job at accommodating people. Like I have a son. They actually flew him out. So he was able to be there for my blind audition with my mom.
That's so nice.
And they interviewed him. So it was just it felt like a more of a family show, which it is more of a family show.
True.
And in more of a comfortable type environment. So if I had to put them next to each other, there's no comparison. And I'm not saying The Bachelor is not good, but the whole dynamic was much more family oriented and not as entertainment oriented as.
Right. Yeah. No, that makes sense. You were on Gwen's team on The Voice. Is that who you wanted to be with, or what were your thoughts going into that?
I didn't know if I was even going to get a chair turn. I was like, you know what? I might as well. I didn't think when I applied for that show that I was going to get it. Honestly, it was just kind of the email came through and I was like, that would be fun. And I've always kind of wanted to do it. I'm going to do it. And so going into it, I didn't really have any expectations. And if I did get a chair turn, I didn't care who it was.
Yeah.
But you know, when you go out there, everybody's team was full. I did not know that. Thank God I didn't know that, because I was having a full-blown anxiety attack before I walked out there, because it is so nerve-wracking. And so I don't even remember it, honestly. I was like, they like say that too, though. They say it's, you black out basically. Mm-hmm. And you're just thinking like, get through the words. Don't mess up the words. So I didn't expect I didn't know who was going to turn, but when it was her, I was like, oh my gosh, because she's just, like, I used to go to OG Gwen Stefani shows. So it was wild. And then a part of me, obviously, going into it, I guess I was a little biased. I kind of wanted Reba just because I'm country music. But all of them were amazing.
What was the dynamic
John
with
her? The nicest person.
Oh, John Legend.
Ugh. Oh my God. He is the nicest person. They all are, but he just was so sweet.
What was the dynamic with Gwen and Blake on the show?
So Blake wasn't there.
Oh, he wasn't.
So Niall Horan took, it's not, it was it. Niall, Blake, Reba, and John. So Blake wasn't on it, but she would talk about him, you know, a little bit here and there. She's really cool because she's a mom and she's so down to earth. Like when we met, she was like, how was your weekend? I was like, good. She's like, what'd you do all summer? And I was talking about Kaysen. And she said, yeah, I took the boy, because she's got boys. She's like, to Dairy Queen. We do so much Dairy Queen. I'm like, oh my God. You know, it was just so such normal things, which was cool to see that side of her. And she's so beautiful and her style. She's just cool as shit. I loved her.
Yeah. No, she is amazing. When you're on The Voice, like, what is the day-to-day like? Because like each week, I'm assuming you're like prepping for the show.
Yeah.
But like, can you do that for 8 hours a day? Like, what is the day to day like when you're on a show like that?
So the day to day, it really depended on, you would get like a schedule each, usually like the day before. So you would just be waiting for the email to come through. So the day to day was really some days you would have interviews, hair and makeup, they would do your hair and makeup, but not, you wouldn't get your hair and makeup done. I think when you get to like the lives and stuff is when you really can get the glam. But this was kind of same as The Bachelor, where you kind of do your own hair and makeup and then you have people there to, you know, touch you up.
Yeah.
But so you're, you know, doing interviews or you're meeting with your coaches. And then there was a lot of downtime. I will say it was very relaxed. Which when you have that downtime, everybody's, you know, staying together. You're all in a hotel.
Yeah.
So you kind of can, that's when you get to know everyone. And that's why, like, I feel like The Voice everybody became like a family. And that competition aspect is there because it's a show, but you never felt it.
Mm-hmm.
My battle partner, when I got paired with, her name was Jenna. She was like, became like my little sister. Like, you would forget that you're, you know, battling each other. And so it was super emotional. Even when, you know, when she won, like she was so sad. And I'm like, Jenna, but you build this like friendship where you don't even want to win at that point. Right. So, but it was such a good experience. I'm so glad I did that. It restored my faith in going on reality television shows. I'm like, okay, I'm good now. I'm not doing that again.
Well, that's what I was about to ask. Like, would you do another reality show or like another singing competition show, or are you retired?
No, I would do another reality show depending on what it was.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't do Love is Blind. I don't think I could do that.
Yeah. We also hear horror stories about Love is Blind as well.
I'm obsessed with Love is Blind, but I don't, that's not something I think I could do. Just because I go so much off of like vibes, like the way they act, like I don't know. I'm just such a visual person, and it's not even that I have to see what they look like. It's, I have to see how they interact and in person. So
that makes sense.
I do Farmer Wants a Wife.
What is that? Is that what show is
I don't
that?
Know. It's on, what channel is it on? I don't know. I was just reading about it and I was like, I can do that. I moved out to the country.
In Virginia.
Recently. Yeah. So I'm out in this farmhouse in the country. I have 2 pigs, 3 goats.
Oh, wow. Oh, so this is, you should date Chris Soules, the bachelor who lives on a farm.
Well, if he wants to call me, you know, we could both have a farm.
Okay. Well, he's been on the show a couple of times. We can maybe put in a good word.
Yeah, put in a good word.
My gosh. So where can people find you, and what is life like for you today other than the farm life? I know you said you have a son. What else have you been pursuing?
So I have my son. I'm putting out new music. Hopefully I have a new single that's going to be coming out hopefully end of April. It's called Great Minds Drink Alike. So I'm just working on music. I'm going to start playing out some shows.
That's amazing.
And just hanging out with my son Kaysen and being on the farm. I'm excited for summer.
Yes. Aren't we all?
You know, relax.
Yeah. But, wait, so where are your shows? Like, where can people come support?
So I play out locally in Virginia Beach. This summer, I hopefully will do a couple bigger music festivals in Virginia Beach, just like as an opening opening act, but you can find me on Instagram. I have all my music is on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music. And then I've been, you know, putting out clips of new music on TikTok. So I'm trying to build up my TikTok. I feel very millennial when I'm on TikTok.
That's I don't how know I feel too. It's so hard. Difficult. Well, because it's so time consuming. Like, it's not the same with Instagram where you can just like snap your photo and post.
No,
like, it takes so long to make a TikTok. And who has the time?
I know. And I sit here and I'm like, there's no way it's this difficult. And then I overanalyze it after I do it.
Yeah,
I'm like,
me too.
I look so ridiculous doing that. No. But then when I was on The Voice, that was another thing. On The Voice, there's a lot of young people on The Voice. So in the beginning, there's a lot of minors. Because they narrow it down.
Right.
So with the minors, I'm just watching them do, even my battle partner, Jenna, she's like big on TikTok and I watch her do like the most effortless TikToks. And I'm like, how the hell are you making that so easy? I am like the weird, like aunt who's like, can you teach me how to do this? Cause she's 19 and I'm 30. I'm like, can you help me? And I'm like, God, I'm like her weird aunt that needs all this help.
Yeah. I do feel like with TikTok, I feel like it's more just like quantity over quality. And it's like the more you just like shoot things out like multiple times a day, that's how you really grow. Like, which I'm like, not willing to do. I can't make like 6 TikToks a day.
Me either. And it's so random. It's like,
yeah,
the one that goes viral is the weirdest one. That's like 10 seconds long. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. It is crazy. But I feel like a lot of people get discovered musically on TikTok. So I'm like, okay, I need to start doing this, but I'm just bad at it.
Okay, guys, go follow Claire on TikTok. Yes. She needs to get thousands
go
of more
follow
followers.
Me and
every single listener, go. Oh, well, this was so fun catching up with you and hearing a little bit about your journey on The Bachelor, but also on The Voice. We've never had someone from The Voice before. So excited to like hear some of that backstory. You've already kind of plugged where people can find you. Anything else you want to share before I will let you go?
No, I think we covered everything. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, no, thank you. This is so fun.
Is that it? I think that's it. Bye, bitches.